finger in the air.
All right, let's get to the meat of potatoes.
In front of him, heads bowed, stood the six members of the wag train who'd drawn the black pebbles in the lottery. Two women, three men, and one young child, who every now and again would look around for his mother, and then turn away, tears falling from his chin.
This message is for my dear old friend Ryan Carter, One Eye himself, and for the people with him. I'm not that certain how many or who they are, but I'm not interested in all of them. Just Ryan and the mutie child, Jack Lauren.
Fucker. Not mutie, and not fucking child. Chill him, Ryan.
With the G-12, it would have been a ridiculously simple shot, and Strasser must also have been aware of that. But he still stood up there, tempting Ryan, confident that his enemy wouldn't waste him, with the knowledge that the result would be a total massacre of the innocents.
If Ryan and Jack come in here and meet up and talk some with me, then not a single drop of blood gets spilled.
An automatic valve on the locomotive opened, and there was a sudden noisy jetting of white steam. Strasser looked around at the interruption, then carried on with his speech.
I know they can hear me. I know they're in the mill. And I don't want to waste time on waiting for them. We have to get back into the hills tomorrow, or we run short of supplies. So here's the sharp end of it, Ryan.
Deadline time.
Ryan took back the spyglass from the armorer, centering it on the gleaming black figure, easing it sideways a little to take in the trio of guards who were covering Doc Tanner. The old man had probably never received so much close attention in his recent life.
Come on in, Ryan, and the boy. Take your chances here. If you don't, these six good people will go down one after the other. Every 10 minutes by my trusty old Kron, nothing will save them, Ryan. Just like the blood of my six good people, the blood of this six will lie on your heart. And after these six, we'll have another lottery, one eye, and another. Until this square is waist deep in corpses and ankle deep in their innocent blood.
Mildred knew instantly in the core of her soul that Strasser was totally, clinically, homicidally insane. She didn't doubt that he spoke the truth, nor that he'd carry through his promise until not one of the settlers remained alive. She also knew that if Ryan and Jack were to surrender themselves to Skullface, their passing would be both long and hard.
You got 10 minutes before number one goes down, Carter. 10 minutes!
5 minutes later, in the sun-bleached bones of the old firehouse, Ryan stared blankly out across the baked land, his eye unfocused, his mind racing furiously. Christy joined him, touching him gently on the arm, stirring him from his reverie. He looked around at her, seeing the question in her eyes.
I don't know, lover. I truly don't know.
9 minutes and counting, Carter. I know you're out there listening, probably watching. So, watch this.
Mildred had eased herself back in the crowd, toward the half-open door of one of the smaller buildings linked to the main engine house. Her eyes roamed around, looking at the nearest guards, trying to find out what they were watching, how alert they were. Ryan had twice brought his G-12 rifle to his shoulder, peering through the sights at Strasser, finger hovering on the trigger. Then he put the long gun aside, knowing that this wasn't the time.
Too late this time around, Carter!
Strasser laid the speaker aside and gestured to Rafe to bring the first lucky winner of the Blackstone Lottery to the front.
It's Frank Wells, boss.
Mildred recognized him. He was the brother of one of Elder Vare's cabal of preachers, a quiet man who was married to a deaf-mute woman who stood near Mildred, silently tearing a handkerchief to bits. Strasser put the machine pistol onto single fire.
Any last words, Mr. Wells?
This ain't right.
Court Strasser nodded approvingly.
And that's the truth, Mr. Wells. Just step here and open up your mouth for a moment. I promise you, this won't hurt you hardly at all.
The settler did as he was told, looking up at the immensely tall man and dutifully parting his lips for the muzzle of the Stetchkin. For the crowd looking on. Mildred didn't blink at the execution. The sight reminded her oddly of the home movie of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The same memory struck Doc Tanner.
By the three Kennedys!
Of the group of watchers across the desert, only Jack said anything.
Fuck.
Strasser picked up the speaker again.
You see that, Carter? That's one! Sure, you don't want to save lives! Number two comes up in...
He consulted his wrist chron again.
9 minutes and 11 seconds.
The minutes ticked by, and this time it was one of the women, an elderly matriarch with a squint, who tried to swing a roundhouse punch at Strasser.
Whoa! This girl has a little life in her. For now, anyway.
The woman was soon held down by two of the guards. The bullet was administered, classically, in the back of the neck. She went down like a sack of rags.
It'll soon be three, Carter!
The discussion was urgent and intense. It was obviously out of the question for Ryan and Jack to even think of giving themselves up to Strasser. It would have been simpler to kiss their own blasters.
Just kill Strasser, then put as much lead as we all can into the guards. Let everyone take their chances.
Doc and Mildred could die. But we can't hold off until that ice-bellied son of a bitch shoots everyone.
Christy fought to control her anger at what was happening. Anger at their helplessness in the face of Strasser's malevolent cunning.
I know that. Fireblast, you think I'm some fucking triple stoop?
Ryan was losing control of his own temper, unable to see a better option than that offered by JB. Yet knowing that the inevitable result would be a charnel house, with dozens left looking blank-eyed at the sky.
Lemme creepy crawl. Knife, skull face.
No, Jack. That's no better than any other idea. Worse, because it'll probably mean you getting chilled as well.
We have to do something!
Time for number three!
The child, a little boy, had seen the two executions, but clearly hadn't made the connection with his own presence out in front of the crowd. Now, as one of the women guards took him by the hand to lead him to the waiting Strasser, he began to weep, pulling back red-eyed and bawling.
Let him go!
Will you come and take his place? Then come on down, sir!
I will! Oh, sweet Savior on the cross, spare him and take me instead!
Mildred was now against the half-open door, hands brushing the flakes of sun-baked paint, testing it gently, and feeling the hint of movement. She had no idea what was inside, but she knew that it had to be better than what was happening out there. She pushed a bit harder, wincing as hinges squeaked, unoiled for 100 years. But nobody looked around. Everyone was glued to the drama at the center of the square. Strasser pointed the riding crop at a crying woman.
You the mother?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
She was in her 30s, with lank blonde hair and pendulous breasts. Tears coursed over her cheeks and dripped down the front of her dimity dress.
Then call out to Ryan Carter, and maybe he'll hear you. Maybe the cries of a mother will soften that stone heart.
Strasser smiled contentedly as the mother of the little boy ran a few hesitant steps forward, cupping her hands to her mouth and looking all around her, as if Ryan were going to appear in front of her. Strasser gestured for her to start calling out.
Mr. Carter! Come in! Please do! And my Gavin will be saved! He's only a little lad, Mr. Carter! And you're a man! Full grown! It's not fair for him to suffer for you!
Fuck this, lady. It's a waste of time. Post the kid, Rafe. Don't squander a bullet on it.
Rafe approached with his whirling nunchakas. The hardwood sticks whirred like a plunging falcon, and one of them cracked across the side of the child's head. The mother stared, unbelievingly for a moment, then ran clumsily toward the twitching corpse.
Gavin! Oh, oh God! Gavin!
Strasser leveled the Stetchkin. He shot her once between the breasts, the impact knocking her flat on her back, hands flailing for balance. She fell in the dirt. At a movement from Strasser, The woman guard knelt and efficiently opened up the artery in the woman's throat. The speaker came up again to the thin, stenciled lips.
Ho-ho! See that, Carter? Three...